Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Here on Yahweh.name, I'm Stefan Yah, and doing the exhortations today. So this is going to be a program with lots of exhorting in it. And in fact, if we read from Proverbs, and before that, if we read from Psalm 119, verse 165, talking about the peace and the shalom and the Torah. Yahweh says, remember, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yahweh says in Psalm 119, great peace, great shalom have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the English version in the King James and popular versions. But that word offend is, you know, has a meaning that might make us think that nobody is ever going to offend us. But actually, if you look the word up in your telephone or on your computer or in the Strong's Concordance, the word offend actually means to ruin, entice. And as far as offend, to not offend is the actual meaning of that. So you won't offend Yahweh. So let's read that again. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall ruin them, those who love the Torah. Then in Proverbs 28, verse 4, they that forsake the Torah praise the wicked, but such as keep the Torah contend with them. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer shall be an abomination. In verse 13 of chapter 28 of Proverbs, Mishli, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Now, there is this teaching lately in Christianity on pop Christian radio that there's no need for performance of any kind before Yahweh. In other words, no obedience as well. But here we find that we are to love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just half-heartedly, and that we are to obey his commandments. To love Yahweh first, the first four commandments, the first basic fourth commandments, and the last six, we shall love our neighbor as ourself. So Proverbs 28 again, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we, preposition if we confess our sins, on the condition that we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Of course, that's not the rest of the story. Read the rest of Scripture, and it also says, repent and confess our sins, and to repent and be immersed. Found a beautiful song here that we have forgotten so many of the great old songs of the assemblies, and finding in a Tabernacle Hymns, number 4, on the 207th song is, He Hideth My Soul. A wonderful Savior is Yehoshua, my King, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Then verse 4, when clothed in his brightness and transported I rise, to meet him in the clouds of the sky, his perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the souls on high. That'll be at the time of the last trumpet, Revelation 11, the last trumpet, and also in 1 Thessalonians 4, that at the last trumpet, when the dead in Messiah first shall rise. And if I turn the page in this great green book, the next one is, there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. That's just verse 1. Oh, and verse 2 is quite popular. There will be showers of blessing, precious reviving again over the hills. Or sometimes they leave out the V. O'er the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. When we call upon the Savior. Then one more, It Is Well With My Soul by Bliss. And when peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We don't want to forget those great songs like The Rock of Ages or Oh How Wonderful. When I see the blood, a Passover song, then when I see the blood, Yahweh will pass over us, or the death angel will pass over. Never Alone, Moment by Moment, and hundreds of songs in there. We don't always sing the same one over and over. I think that's when you run it into the ground, and they call that sometimes when they're singing the off-the-wall songs, the 7-11 songs, because you sing seven verses 11 times. And after a while, it becomes meaningless. So we read from Proverbs, whosoever keeps the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. And joyful is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Whosoever walks uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. No, we don't want to become a Marxist. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hastes to be rich has an evil eye and considers not that poverty shall come upon him. Another teaching in the New Testament and the Gospels there about the, if thine eye be evil, thy entire, I think it's soul or body, shall be full of darkness. Yahweh.name. Okay, then on Messiah. Okay, then on Messiah's name, we have these different titles like, when the name of Jehovah and Jesus. And that was 500 years ago when the J was put into the alphabet. And when was the name changed from the original, from the Hebrew? When was Yahweh's name changed, Yahweh the Father? Where did the name Yahosha come from? Where did the name Yeshua come from? Different titles you can find and listen to these podcasts. There's been quite an effort by some to overturn the name of Yahweh and to bring it to naught and change it to something else, like a variant of Baal, which is Lord, L-O-R-D. If you look up at the English versions, you'll find most of the time that when it refers to the Father, it uses the epithet, the name, or it's not a name, the title, L-O-R-D, Lord. And so on this website and other websites, you'll find the explanation why they did that, bringing his name to naught. In Isaiah 52, as I read Yahweh's inspired word through his prophet Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people are taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemed or corrupted. Then, behold, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. In that beautiful psalm, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that publish shalom, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy sovereign reigneth. Thy mighty one reigneth, or thy sovereign reigneth. Then Psalm 83, yes, let them be put to shame and perish. 83:18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahweh, art the most high over all the earth. Now there is a variance in pronunciation, very few variances, but certainly not of the spelling. And one of the variants in pronunciation is to put the ho, which means announcing, the Hebrew word Ho, or part of a word, part of a name, is Ho. Yahusha is one of those names where it means Messiah brings salvation. And so let us rejoice and not be put to shame, that men may know thou whose name alone is Yahuwah, art the most high over all the earth. Then going back to Psalm 44, Tehillim 44, verse 20 now, the inspired word which reads, if we have forgotten the name of our Yahweh, or stretched out our hands to a strange Elohim, shall not Elohim search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. And many have tried to criticize or make fun of, to ridicule the scriptures. These scriptures, the commonly called the Bible, the scriptures have been paid for by the blood of martyrs. That they themselves, the writers, not the murderers, but the writers, the prophets of scripture, have also paid for it by their blood, for many of them, anyway, I should say. And that many of them, like King David, who wrote the Psalms and many other books of the Bible, that King David confessed his faults. He confessed his sins right before us. What sort of a book would you find these days where the author would come right out and humbly be so transparent and confess his faults and say that he had, for example, been committing certain sexual sins and had overcome them? He didn't go back to it. He repented and didn't go back. He was forgiven totally by Yahweh and by Yahweh's Son. In Hosea chapter 6, the kingdom of the house of Israel. So here's Hosea. And men of Israel are actually prophesying against their own country, against their own nation. How about that? That shows great credibility right there, to confess their sins, and that Yahweh is showing judgment, and he is exhorting us to repent, even right now. So that was Hosea 1. And so we shall go back now to that coming out of Babylon, and coming out of the synagogues and churches of Babylon. Not all of them are like that, but come out whenever there's a major problem, a major false teaching of a major doctrine. And one of the major teachings is, some of the major teachings are the first four commandments. That includes the Sabbath day, and which is also repeated many times throughout the book of Acts, Hebrews chapter 4, and right until the end and the future in the millennium. We find that in Isaiah 65 and 66, Zechariah 14, and many of the so-called minor prophets as well, Zephaniah, and probably each and every one of those prophets speak of this great future to come, being in the presence, in the throne room, with the King of Kings. So come out, Revelation 18. And, I mentioned Psalm 115. Depart, depart you. Go you out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her. Out of Babylon, in other words. Be clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh. Then Revelation, the last book in the scriptures, in chapter 18, Revelation 18, verse 4, come out, and it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and Elohim has remembered her iniquities. This has got to be Revelation 18, verse 15, so shall the Messiah sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Okay, and the commandment in the second table in the Decalogue is to love our neighbor. We'll go to Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, chapter 3. And I note that by listening to the trends around us, reading newspapers and hearing radio, the Marxists of the liberal left believe in loving your neighbor by dealing treacherously with them, murdering, robbing, stabbing, stealing, and kidnapping our children. And I've been the brunt of that, the object of kidnapping children. We had our miracle daughter, and her mind began to, and her heart was taken away when she was about age 15. And then when she turned 18, I believe it was, that someone helped her spring from the nest, and certainly not with our knowledge or permission, and wind up in a very compromising situation for many, many years. So, and these things are done by so-called friends, by teachers, pastors, and disobedient leaders, leaders of government, and relatives. The children can be and will be spoiled by some of our relatives. They lie, slander, and misrepresent the facts, bribing and persuading by wicked words to dishonor their parents, thereby breaking the fifth commandment, the first commandment in the second part of the Decalogue. In Jeremiah, it's Jeremiah, I'll leave out the hoo-hoo, Jeremiah 3:20, surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith Yahweh. Chapter 5:11, Jeremiah, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith Yahweh. And then verse 3, going back to verse 3 now in the scriptures here to Jeremiah. They have dealt very treacherously against me, saith Yahweh, but they refused to receive correction. So we're still required, in certain situations at least, with the Spirit moving, to warn others, to give them the word of Yahweh, to quote the not my words, but His words, the Almighty, who inspired all of this. Then from Jeremiah 5, we go to Jeremiah chapter 12, and this will be a little bit longer. I was mainly going to read verse 6, but righteous art thou, O Yahweh, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Judgments doesn't just mean commandments. It in particular refers to the Moeds and to His feast days, the Yahweh's feast days determined by the calendar of Yahweh. Wherefore does the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? So that's the theme here at this time in Jeremiah and also in Lamentations. Righteous art thou, O Yahweh, I plead with thee, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Perhaps the word here could be translated, though, of severe judgment, not the privileges that we read about in Exodus 21 following the Ten Commandments. 5, that's 12 verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the dwelling of Jordan? 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourns unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man lay it to heart. Do you think that would be written by somebody who was trying to show off and tell you what a spiritual person he was? No, this is somebody, a prophet, Jeremiah. I don't care what the professors say, if you want to believe the professors, or if that person wants to believe them, then they'll pick their own course. Verse 14, thus saith Yahweh against all my evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land, and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, Yahweh liveth, by my name, Yahweh liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yahweh. A lot of real judgment there is being severed, spoken out, rather, and prophesied, and a lot of exhortation here, isn't it? So let's continue now. That was mainly Jeremiah 12, verse 6. Then in his next book of Lamentations, and I have to turn over there to Lamentations to read verse 1. I only have verse 2 listed on the website, on my text website that follows, on the same website that follows this. Oh, you know what I mean. Lamentations 1:1. How does the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? I think he's speaking of Jerusalem. She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Verse 4, the ways of Zion do mourn. It says Judah has gone into captivity because of its affliction. The ways of Zion mourn because none came to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. She is in bitterness. And then they even mocked at her Sabbaths. Today they try to tell you that they mock and tell you that the Sabbath was done away with or ceased. Verse 7, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy. None helped her. The adversary saw her and mocked at her Sabbaths. Read on, my friend. So, there is a song by the Guess Who in 1969 with Burton Cummins and Randy Bachman and all of his gang there that sang these semi-religious songs. She's Come Undone. And some of the verses say, she's gone too far. She's lost the sun. She's come undone. And then there is a verse that says, too many churches, but not enough truth. That came from the Guess Who, the rock and roll singers. I can't believe it. I was playing that back in 1969 as a disc jockey near Salem, Oregon, on good old Crow Radio, the mighty 1460. You know, solid gold 1460. Now it's a Hispanic station. Been that way many years. The commandments were spoken of by Yahweh through Moses to us in Deuteronomy. And after, of course, Exodus, the reading of the Ten Commandments there, but repeating in Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy the words that were spoken in chapter 5, verse 22, these words Yahweh spake unto all the assembly in the mount, that is, the words of the Ten Commandments, or the basic laws, and out of the midst of the fire of the cloud and the thick darkness with a great voice, he added no more. And, he also gave them statutes and judgments, of course, in Exodus 21-23. He wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. You know, the testimony was written on the tables of stone. The instructions for our tabernacle. Now, that was chapter 5, so let's go back, let's go forward to chapter 31 of Devarim. And it says, "And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bore the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and unto the elders of Israel." And in 24, verse 31, that's where we were just reading. 31:24, to be sure. That's right, we're going from verse 9 to 24. Now here we go. "And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bore the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the sight of the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, your Elohim, that it may be a witness against thee." Now, some of those instructions in the sight of the law were definitely a blessing and for you, for your prosperity, for your protection, for your family, to go out in the feast days and have a great relationship together. Verse 27, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, I am yet alive with you this day. You have been rebellious against Yahweh, and how much more after my death?" And that's the end of that reading, Deuteronomy 31:27. Now we remember the name of Yahweh. We remember his Sabbaths. We remember, Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 8, that man might not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. "And therefore thou shalt also keep the commandments of Yahweh thy Elohim, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yahweh thy Elohim bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills." And verse 10, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless Yahweh." So say the prayer after eating. "Thou shalt bless Yahweh thy Elohim for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not Yahweh." Now, this is certainly addressing our performance, a thought that so many Protestant radio preachers are against, having any sort of outward performance for Yahweh. But it says, "Beware that thou forget not Yahweh thy Elohim, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And this theme is carried throughout the Word. When it goes into the New Testament, it talks about good works. For example, Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship created in Messiah unto good works." So talking about good works, not doing little favors, but commandments, statutes, and judgments. Now, you hold on there. My wife is dining here next to us, and our granddaughter, the one with the tail, wants to be taken outside, but she's just going to have to wait a little bit. We are to love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, according to the commandment. If I would have gone back another chapter now, I've turned away, but I turned from the scripture to Revelation. But we are to love Yahweh with half of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, no performance whatsoever, no evidence that we have been saved. Oh, there's preachers who could really go far beyond what I'm saying here. I can only quote some of the scriptures for you. And I've only been with this for 30 plus years as a leader in the assemblies. But some of those, they're really blessed and skilled. Revelation 20, a gentleman from Hawaii we listened to on the radio. He moved from Hawaii to Oregon. Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son." So Elohim wants us to overcome. Oh, yes, he's not standing there with a clipboard waiting to write down all of our mistakes or sins or transgressions or iniquities necessarily. No, he's ready with a clipboard symbolically waiting to write down the good things that we do, the things that we have overcome in our life. We've overcome lust, perhaps, for the most part, or altogether. We've overcome, undue anger, unrighteous anger. Oh, so many things that you could speculate on that as well, or expand more on that. But I don't have that gift. Behold, in chapter 22 now, verse 7 of Revelation, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I know thy works. Talking there about, are you following Yahweh's word? I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Whoa, yeah, we can't do that. Oh, I'm sorry, I had gone way back here to chapter 3 in that reading. I know thy works. Oh, speaking probably to the Church of Philadelphia, I can't remember. I had this up on my screen, but not entirely. Just the caption, Revelation 3:8. And then 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Seems like he's going to keep us there from the great tribulation. And symbolically, he calls it an hour. Hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. So hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Still in chapter 3. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim, and the name of the city of my Elohim, which is New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Elohim. New Jerusalem, the pure city, that's where we're going to go. And I'll write upon him my new name. And now study the word of Yahweh. You get yourself a good Strong's Concordance available on the internet. What do you call that place there? Are you eBay or something like that? Study the word to show yourself approved. Yes, even your performance. You could work up that, look at that word perform. Perform my word. Of course, he wants us to perform for him. But in reality, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just for, I can't think of the word right now, but not just, to impress somebody else. So on your cell phone or PC, you can download eSword or the Bible with Strong's Concordance, and for free. Or if you want to pay them, you can make a donation. And another program called eSword, E, and then the word sword, S-W-O-R-D. I like that program. I use that. And you can switch back and forth between the Hebrew, the Greek, and the English. And you can take, for example, words that are in the modern translations, even the King James, which I'm not putting down because it certainly is from a good text, Jordanian text. What is it? And Easter is the wrong word found in the book of Acts. What is that, chapter 17 there? But the underlying Greek is written Pascha, P-A-S-C-H-A, or if it were in Hebrew, it would be Pesach, and so that means Passover. So Paul intending after Pesach went his course or something. You can read all about that in the scriptures. Also, in the entirety of my website, I've talked about the language of Yahweh versus the language of man here. The mighty name of Yahweh. It's been altered and perverted and brought to naught by man and translated into Lordos, but it should be Yahweh. It should indeed be Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, otherwise known as the Tetragrammaton. You don't need to know that, but Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh are the four Hebrew letters that is found. And when you hover your cursor, if you're doing a computer thing, hover your cursor over Lord, or just look up Lord in the Strong's Concordance, Mr. Strong might have written a few things about there that it means Lord, but also it should say Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh or Yahweh. Psalm 146. Happy is he that has Yahweh of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh his Elohim, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. I'm reading here in Psalm 146. Verse 7, Yahweh that executes judgment for the oppressed, which gives food to the hungry, Yahweh looseth the prisoners, he opens the eyes of the blind, he raises them that are bowed down, Yahweh loves the righteous. Yahweh preserves the strangers, he relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Yahweh shall reign forever and ever, even thy Elohim, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye Yahweh. Job 37 now. At this also my heart trembles, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goes out of his mouth. He directs it unto the whole heaven, and is lightning unto the ends of the earth. He saith to the snow, this is verse 6, Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. Verse 10, By the breath of Yahweh frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straightened. Verse 13, He causes it to come. He causes this phenomenon, the watering of the earth, to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Verse 22, Fair weather comes out of the north, but Yahweh is wonderful majesty. And then verse 1 of chapter 38, Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it. Thou hast understanding. 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of Yahweh shouted for joy, the messengers of Yahweh shouted for joy. And it goes on there about creation for several chapters. This is a very awesome reading and poetic reading of the word of Yahweh. Real blessing. And, okay, verse 22, Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? Who has divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning or thunder? Oh, it's just amazing, all of these creations of Yahweh. Matthew 10, Verily I say unto you, Messiah speaking, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. Let us remember those exhortations and warnings from Yahweh, as well as Luke 13. Yahushua said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That doesn't just apply to the Jewish of the day, or the hypocrites and so on, but it applies to all of us. And we all have a little bit of that hypocrisy we need to get rid of. And pride, we need to get rid of that too. So I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's not once saved, always saved. Thank you for joining us today on this exhortation about exhortation. And we hope that you'll check out the entire website for us, okay? And or part of it anyway. Spend more time in the Word, and these things will be written in your heart and in your spirit, and as well for the generation to come. Declare his praise, declare the name of Yahweh.
Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the time of trouble will appear.